Hello and welcome. Glory to God, for He is good and His love endures forever. He never lets us down, so let's keep going. No matter what happens, we give Him all praise, all honor, and all our life because He has bought us by His blood, by His sacrifice. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video, my friends, so people can say yes to Jesus forever. Throw that thumbs up. Like, let me know that you are here, and welcome, 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 and type Jesus forever. Hello, Gail, always number one to be here. I am so impressed how God had put you here as well. Hello, Nafan, woohoo, God is good. And today, we're going into the Word of God from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. And it talks about how God has bigger plans. He had bigger plans for you, bigger plans for me. He got bigger plans. He's stronger. He's mighty. And so He's our God, our King, who never lets us down. So you want to stick to the very end so that you can hear the Word of God and let Him build you up and lead you towards the right path as He empowers you and grows you and makes you more confident in your life to overcome the things that you're going through and are to come in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hello, hello. Yes. Yes, Aressa, Alan. Glory to God, Jesus forever. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. I'm going to read the passage, then go through some reflections, and then go into the Word of God, the passage, and then some more learning points that you can get. And then we're going to go into more deeper Word of God in order to support this passage. So, buckle up. Enjoy the journey. Right now, it is May 21st, and it is right now 5:30 here in California, and I'm just here because I got to get this live stream in to worship the Lord, to be consistent every day in getting in it. So, welcome. I'm so glad you are here, brothers and sisters in Christ, for He is gay. For He is so good. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. And the Lord said to Elijah, and Elijah, he just defeated the false prophets at Mount Carmel, and then he expected King Ahab and Queen Jezebel to turn, and the Israelites to turn back to the one true God. Instead, he was chased down, and he was being hunted like a dog, and because he was a righteous prophet, and he was depressed. But God protected him, provided for him, and led him down a path, which showed that He is not alone, which showed that He is meant for a bigger plan, and He's here to bring in and wheel in another crowd of people. So let's check it out. The Lord said here in verse 11, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord, He was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been zealous for you, Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, the king over Aram, and also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. And then Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve for you 7,000 in Israel, whose knees never bowed down to Baal, and whose mouth never kissed him. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing the 7 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pillar. Whoa, must be buff and strong. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye. And he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah. Wow, this is incredible. How God provided, even when he did not see it, even when he did not feel it, Elijah was provided with 7,000 men who never bowed down to false idol. Provided the next king of Israel, the next king of Judah, the next prophet of the Lord that's going to take after him. He didn't see that coming. He didn't see a successor. He thought he was going to be the last one. And it really shows that you are not alone, my friends. You are not alone. Faithfully following God can be lonely. But when you are following him, you are never truly alone. You may be the only Christian in your workplace, in your school, in your family. And sometimes you may feel like you're the only one who truly tries to live for the Lord. And you take up your cross to follow him and live for the Lord. And you feel like you're getting just splinters and getting hurt and you're all alone. And that's what Elijah felt. So alone and isolated. So God, in his compassion and wisdom, speaks to Elijah in a friendly, gentle whisper, which shows that he has a plan. God has a plan in Elijah, which is an important role to play. And Elijah, he had to just be faithful and say, wow, God, you are amazing. You're a provider. You go beyond my imagination, my thoughts, and I will honor you. I will glorify you. God's suffering people are never forgotten, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and make you successful, not to forsake you, not to leave you, declares the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So you are never truly alone. You here have God, the Holy Spirit, living in you. You have the Spirit of the Lord in you. And not only that, but you have the Spirit of the Lord guiding your way, teaching you, leading you. And not only that, there is community out there for you. And you're here to build God's kingdom, to build God's community, to build God's place, and to be his servant. And so you are never truly alone. Even when you don't feel it, when you don't see it, God is still working. Amen. Agatha, Rita, amen. Glory to God. And then another reflection that we get is that there's a spiritual successor after Elijah. He thought he was alone. He was like, I'm all alone and I'm the last of prophets. There's no one else. There's two themes in this story that shows God's faithfulness. Number one, he first provides a solution to Elijah's discouragement and loneliness. And Elisha, who has become his spiritual successor, it must be a great, great encouragement for an aging prophet to be able to pass on his legacy to see the work of God to continue through his young mentee so he can mentor him. And secondly, God shows his faithfulness to Israel by ensuring that there is a prophet to speak his word to the kings and nations even after Elijah, the great prophet, is gone. And Israel, they reached a spiritual low point with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel on the throne. But God, he never abandoned his people. He's still there with them. And with every generation, God is faithful and he makes provisions for their spiritual well-being. So if you're feeling like you're all alone, you're the only one that is experiencing the presence of God in your life, and everyone else is just rejecting it and saying, that's crazy stuff, do not worry, because God is still working. And this all will come to pass, and you will end up in a better, better place in the end. Amen? Glory to God, for he is good. Woo! God is great. And we can see how faithful he's working, how faithful our God is. And in this 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 18, we can see that there is Elijah's encounter with the Lord. And that encounter and challenge was for this prophet. And after arriving to Mount Sinai, Elijah, he went into this cave. And in the Hebrew, the definite article is used to indicate the cave. This fact could be significant, for it has been referring to some particular cave that Moses used when he confronted God at Mount Sinai. When, whatever in the case, Elijah went to a particular cave and spent the night there, and what happened there became a strong encouragement to his heart or any believers who is experiencing discouragement, despair, and hopelessness. And so this passage really paints the picture for you. Even when you're skeptical, he paints the picture for you that God alone is the one true God, and the one true God that will provide your needs, that cares for you, that leads you in times of pain and sorrow, in times when of glamour and greatness. He leads you, and he is our God who is with you in the lows and in the highs. So praise the Lord, for he is good. And so either while he was sleeping or right after he awoke, Elijah, he was confronted by the Lord with a very specific question. What he was doing here in Mount Sinai. And filled with despair, Elijah responded that he had been faithfully serving the Lord God. But the people of Israel, they did not respond to his challenge. Instead, they rejected God's covenant, destroying his worship centers and killing the Lord's prophets. Now, only he was left among God's prophets, and the Israelites, they were trying to kill him alone too. And so Elijah, he felt all alone, abandoned, as though he was the only person in the nation who was serving God. He felt defenseless, helpless, and the threat of evil of Queen Jezebel really haunted him, and his discouragement was blinding him to the truth of God's presence and his power to deliver his people from the hands of the enemies. Not responding to Elijah's complaint, the Lord invited his dear servant to come out of the cave, to stand in his presence. And once outside, several spectacular events occurred rapidly, quickly. And note that God was not present in these fire, in these earthquakes, in these wind and hurricane. He did not meet Elijah's need through these spectacular events. The furious windstorm struck the mountain. The windstorm so fierce that it split the mountain into half, and the rocks were shattered. But the Lord's presence was not in the wind. After the windstorm, an earthquake took place. But again, God's presence was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a blazing fire which erupted on the mountain. But the Lord was not in the dramatic fire. In the past history, the Lord had used all three of these events to symbolize his presence, like the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, but not this time, not in confronting Elijah. Why? Because Elijah, he was being used by God to perform spectacular miracles, just like he did at Mount Carmel, just like he did when the fire came down and burned his offering and burned all the water, the trench that was poured upon that altar. And he showed that he was the one true God. And these events proved that the Lord is the one and only true living God. And obviously, Elijah began to depend upon the sensation and to expect repentance due to these amazing events. And I totally, wow, if God did these in front of my eyes, I'll be like, yes, he is totally God. He's God alone. But it is seldom, it's a seldom way God to reach his people through incredible demonstrations of his power. Because they still refuse to believe. They still just watch it as entertainment. Oh, wow, that's so amazing. And they don't turn to the one true God. And that's why God uses different ways in order to let his will be done, in order to make his presence be known, in order to let his name be glorified, and also his name be known amongst all the peoples in this world. And usually, he moves upon the hearts of people with a still, small voice. And he says to you, my brothers and sisters, be still and know that I am your Lord, your God. Pabla, amen. And thus, Elijah had to learn. Sometime after the spectacular event, there was a quiet, gentle whisper of God's voice. And during the whisper, Elijah was gripped with shame and humbled himself before the Lord. Broken, he put a cloak over his face, knowing slowly but surely, Elijah was learning a great lesson that God revealed himself by speaking to his spirit, the heart of man. And it's through the movement of the heart that God convicts and moves a person to repentance. And that's why we must always ask God to move us in our heart. Not just showing signs like, give me $1 million, give me a big sign, a miracle, and then I will believe in you. Man's heart doesn't work like that. Man's heart moves from within. And then from within, you are transformed and you repent and you come back into the presence of God and say, yes, you are my God, Yeshua. You are my Lord, my God, and I will not turn away from you because you have proven yourself over and over and over again. Amen. And Elijah, he shouldn't expect people to respond to the events such as windstorms, earthquakes, and fires and just become aroused and forsake their sin and repent and turn to God. Thus, this lesson is very clear, that it would be his word, God's word, that would change the heart of people. Thus, what people needed was the word of God, word of the Lord, proclaimed by Elijah. And if Elijah would arise and go forth, carrying the voice of God, his holy word, to the people, they would respond. At least some would. So, you know, a lot of people are reliant on signs, yet the signs are not enough to change their hearts. In the end, the word of God is enough. The Spirit of the Lord is enough to change our hearts, to transform, to save the lost, and to bring them out of darkness into light, to bring them from defeat to victory, to bring them from shame to glory, to bring them from death to life. It is God's word that is able to do so. And so to stir Elijah and arise to arise, stir you to arise and turn to your community, to your family, to your people with a new mission, the Lord forcefully repeated his question. Once again, he asked Elijah what he was doing there at Mount Sinai. Still not aroused, Elijah responded the very same as he did before. He's been very zealous in serving the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord of hosts, the Lord Yahweh, brought them out of slavery, brought them out of the bondage of sin, who brought them into his presence, into the promised land. But the Israelites, they rejected God's covenant still, destroying his worship centers and killing God's prophets. And then, with the same spirit of hopelessness still gripping onto his soul, Elijah responded once again that he was alone and was left, that the Israelites were now trying to kill him as well. That is a scary, scary place to be. Persecution, being ridiculed, being laughed at, being made fun of, for spreading the word of God. And that's why it's so important to know that what you're doing, just by saying amen, just by throwing that heart rose, is so important. Just by being here, hearing the word of God, being encouraged by him, knowing that his word is enough to change the heart of others. Your story is enough to change the heart of people. Amen, Alex. Glory to God. Elisha. Woohoo! We have Elisha Harrison. Amen. We're talking about Elisha. You know, Elisha came after Elijah. And then God was the one that placed Elisha under Elijah's care so that Elisha was the next to proclaim the word of God, the successor to prophet that was able to declare the one and only true God to the Israelite. Now with compassion and gentleness, the Lord met Elijah's need. He gave him a new task and encouraged him. And with obvious intensity and power in his voice, the Lord instructed Elijah to get up and go back the very same way he had come. Go back the same way that he ran from and escaped from. And then go to the desert of Damascus. There he was to anoint the next king, Hazael, the king of Aram or Syria. And he was to anoint Jehu, the king of Israel. And finally, he was to anoint Elisha, his own very successor. And note why these three leaders would complete the task that Elijah had begun, the task of purging Baal worship, false worship from the land. And what a word of encouragement to God's dear servant Elijah that his mission had not been a failure. It was being carried out step by step by God himself. God orchestrated every way perfectly, even when we don't see it, you don't feel it. Now you can look back and be like, wow, God, you are amazing, and you orchestrated every way of step of the way, and I could not have done that myself. That's only by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only by God's power can we do that. Be part of his story. Be part of his glory. Be part of something greater. Amen. So note that the Lord corrected and encouraged Elijah even more by revealing that he is not alone. Not only was there one believer who was fully and committed to the Lord. In fact, there were 7,000 faithful followers of the Lord who never bowed their knees or engaged in false worship of Baal. So what can you learn from this? In experiencing discouragement, despair, hopelessness, losing heart, and running away from the Lord, all these emotions were flooding Elijah's mind, body, and soul, coursing through his very veins. He desperately needed to be encouraged, re-challenged by the Lord. He needed to be ignited by the Lord. He felt so cold, so alone, and he needed to know that he had not been a failure in the task that he has been assigned to by God. And he needed a new task, a renewed purpose, in order to continue ministering to the Israelites, ministering as God has commanded him, as he is the prophet of the Lord. And God, he met Elijah's need. And he will meet your need too. No matter what you are experiencing, God never leaves you alone. He is always present to encourage you, to guide you as you walk step by step. God will strengthen you to conquer discouragement and conquer death and sin. He will help you conquer over the things that feel like it is trapping you and holding you down for a long time. But no worries, that is all temporary. God is eternal and eternally victorious. All other emotions that break you down and pull you down and break you, God will not leave you down and rejected and defeated, wondering what the sense of continuing your life is. No, he won't let you down. He won't leave you now. Therefore, in such discouraging moments, you must turn your hearts to the Lord. Learn to turn to him and say, Lord, I humble myself before you, and I know you are the God over all, and you will deliver me from this dark moment, from this confusion, from this obstacle, temptation, from this trial. You will help me come through. You are with me in the fire. You're with me in the storm. You're with me when I'm facing my giants. You're with me as I continue fighting to live my life according to your will in Jesus' name. So crying out to God in prayer, you must lay down the burdens upon your heart that is holding you down to his hand, and let him transform that into something greater. Let him lift you up. Let him bring you out of that darkness. And if you will open up and reveal your true emotions to our Lord, our God, he promises to give you love. He promises to bring you peace and encouragement into your heart, to give you the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in order to give you a life that is productive, and a life that is worth living, a life of purpose. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. It is self-control. And these are some things that people really, really desire in their heart. And they try looking for it in the things of the world, but they cannot find it because you can only find it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can only find it when you go to God and repent, and bow to him, and let him enter your heart. Let him transform your heart. Amen. And either he will confirm that path that you are walking now, or the mission that you have undertaken is correct, or he will give you a whole new mission and purpose in your life. And once you have prayed, you must return to the Word of God, to the Bible, to the Scripture, and find out how God tells you to live your life, to get to know who our God is, get to know who Jesus is and how he operates. And you must live exactly as he says. And if you are searching his word, and if you If you are searching His word and living as He says, obeying and following His commandments, praying and seeking His face day by day, the Lord will be present with you and guide you step by step. Amen. Praise the Lord, for He is good, and He never lets us down. Amen. Glory to God. And we will know that you will live a victorious life, conquering all discouragement, despairing trials of life. No hardship, no misfortune will overcome you. But the Lord, through Lord Jesus Christ, you will become more than conquerors. As we go into the Bible verses, you will hear that you are victorious. You are people of breakthrough. You are people who live in His glory because of how good, how great, how awesome our Lord, our God is. Amen. Vokio. So let's go into the Word of God. More Bible verses to support God's Word so that we may be able to continue be encouraged by His Word. Amen. So you want to stick to the very end because this is going to be like, whoo, mind-blowing, mind-blowing. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 to 31, the very hairs head of your hair are numbered, and fear not, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He shall give to you. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to bear fruit. And God wants you to live a life that is productive, that is glorifying to His name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has ever overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithfulness. God is faithful to those who do not allow you, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to do. And with the temptation will provide the way for escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God gives you endurance. God gives you the power to overcome your giants, overcome the fire, overcome the trials and temptations, overcome the waves and the storms. He gives you all that you need. Amen. This is our good Father who never lets us down. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it, for I know whom I believe, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I entrusted to Him until that day. So we trust in the Lord. We know that He is in charge, in control, and He is God over it all. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18 says, the Lord will rescue you from every evil deed and will bring you safely to His kingdom, heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. He has not let you down. He has not forsaken you. He cares for you just like He cares for Elijah. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is a dwelling place. It's a resting place. And underneath are everlasting arms, and He drove out the enemies out before you, and He said, destroy. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's the one that you lean upon when you are going through tough times. You are not alone in your life. You're not alone when you have your Lord, your God with you, and you trust in Him, and you let Him transform your life and build you up. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that He may strongly support those heart who is completely His. If your heart is completely His, then He will support you. And He's going to be a support. Can't you believe it? He's not going to let you fall. And you who have acted foolish in this indeed, from now on you will surely have wars. You see, when people turn away from God, when people take God out of the school system, God out of the state system, God out of the government system, out of the country, then there becomes foolishness. There becomes war. But when God is in the system, this country, United States of America, was founded upon biblical principles upon Christian principles. And when it was founded upon Christian principles, God was in the school. God was in the state. God was in the country. And this country was prospering. This country was successful. But now everyone is suffering and going through tough times. Not only this in this United States, but in Canada, in Iran, in Middle East, in Palestine, in Israel, in China, in Russia, in Asia, Africa. People are suffering because of the greed of man, because people are turning away from the one true God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 35 says, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand, they uphold me, and your gentleness makes me great." God makes me great. He makes us great. He upholds us with our hand, and he also gives us the shield of what? Salvation, his grace, his mercy. He's given us salvation, the eternal salvation for eternity, and also the blessings that he's given us on earth. He's our shield. He's our protection. He's our provider. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who love him, and also rescues them." This should be encouraging. This should be encouraging. "The Lord thy God will uphold you with his right hand, and saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will be with you to the very end, my brothers and sisters." Glory to God. And then Isaiah chapter 46, it says, "Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you." Wow, glory to God. These are great Bible verses. And now we're not alone in this. We know that God, he alone is our God, our Savior. I know that it sounds like it's the end, but it's not. That's just midway. So let's see verse 19 to 21. There, Elijah, his call to Elisha, a call to demand surrender and obedience to the Lord. And heeding to the command of Elijah of God, Elijah, he first went and left Mount Sinai and struck out to pursue this new mission God has given him. And first he went to Elisha to issue the most important call that God has assigned him, the call of his replacement. And when he found Elisha, the young man was not idle, but rather working hard on the field plowing. Walking up to this young man, Elijah unexpectedly threw his cloak around Elisha. And then, instead of stopping, Elijah continued on his journey, leaving it up to Elisha to decide whether or not to follow him or not. And throwing the cloak around his shoulder of another person is a symbol of God's call. And in this case, it was a symbol that the young man was to become Elijah's successor, that he was to be chosen to bear the mission of the prophet of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great that the word of God is working to encourage you? And responding immediately to God's call, Elisha ran after Elijah and requested time to say farewell to his father and mother. And Elijah granted him permission to say his farewells, but he strongly encouraged Elijah to consider God's call, not to change his mind. You see, the parents might say, "Well, you should stay with us. You have to work in our household. You can't leave us." But lo and behold, we know later, with permission granted, the young appointee returned briefly to his family to celebrate his appointment and departure with a final meal. And note what else Elisha did. As a symbol of turning from his old life to new, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He slaughtered his oxen and burned them with a plowing equipment. And he was definitely breaking his old life and beginning a new service for the Lord, sitting down with his family and his friends. And he enjoyed a final meal with them. And then he set out to join Elijah to become his successor in training. Glory to God. Amen. So what can you learn from this? Hello, Uncle Jimmy Miller. God bless you. When God calls you to a particular task, then you must surrender to his call. You must obey him. There's no greater joy that exists upon this earth than the joy of worshiping and serving the Lord. Think of the joy that you experience when you serve and meet the needs of another person. The joy of giving a toy to a child who has nothing. The joy of visiting a lonely orphan, widow, or widower. The joy of encouraging someone who is sick or facing terminal illness. The joy of leading someone to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The joy of providing food, clothing, shelter, or money to a needy person. The joy of working diligently at one's job and helping to contribute to one's success of society and of our nation. The joy of living an obedient and righteous life and building up our families, showing and expressing our love for them. And the joy of being friendly, kind, helpful for to fellow workers and developing healthy relationship with them. Joy with joy comes through being responsible. Responsible in loving God and loving your neighbors as yourself. And when you treat your neighbors as you want to be treated, in a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, it floods your spirit and you experience joy, the joy of fulfillment and satisfaction. Again, there is no greater joy than the joy of serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And for this reason, I keep on showing up here on live stream, sacrificing my time with my wife, sacrificing my time with doing other things, with gaming, with watching shows, with doing other things. I sacrifice those times of pleasure and enjoyment in order to serve you so that you may receive the word of God, may be empowered, and so that you may grasp onto the same fire, this same passion to serve our one true God. So we must surrender and obey. We must not get up, and go nowhere. We have to get up. We must not stay down. We must go forth and do the task that he is calling us to do. And we must surrender to the call of the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, 12, verse 50. Whoever shall do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, is the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. That's what Jesus said. You are his brother. You are his sister. You are his family when you do the will of his Father. Amen. We have one Heavenly Father. That Heavenly Father, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. He is big, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is all-wealthy. He's got all things under his hand. And this God, he's the Father of heavens and earth. He's our Father. And if he's our Father, then we are his sons and daughters, and we are his siblings. We are siblings. You are my sister. You are my brother. And so we continue walking in his ways, continue building our life upon his firm foundation. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I beseech you, and I therefore urge you, tell you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God alone, which is your reasonable service. You see, God offered up his divinity, offered up his humanity, offered up everything. He laid down his life for you. And there's no greater love than this, than one to lay their life down for another. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He laid his life down for you, showing that unconditional love, that love to you. He loves you. And that's why you continue. He continues to pursue you and to cry out to you and say, hey, come back to me. I want a relationship with you. Shoshmu, amen. Egg, amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, who sacrificed everything for me. This is the same Christ, same God, who died on the cross, buried, and he did not stay dead, no. He rose in 3 days and rose from the dead and defeated sin and death. He defeated all that. And he rose in victory so that you may live in Christ and Christ in you, so that you may live in victory to victory, glory to glory, life to life, strength to strength, breakthrough to breakthrough. You may live a life from a season to season, knowing that God is in control and that God is victorious over all in every season, every moment, and that God has good plans for you. For his ways, his plans, his thoughts are higher than our plans, ways, and thoughts. And that's why we commit our life to him and we say, not my will, but yours be done. May you increase and I decrease. And I will serve you with all my heart, with all I am, with all my being. For this is the acceptable living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. Because he already bought everything that I am. My time, my energy, everything I am is God's. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. Servants, employees, workers, be obedient to them that are your young masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. He's saying, to do the will of God, whatever work God has given you, whether you're a student, whether you're a mom or dad, whether you're working in a something corporate or business owner, whether wherever you are, whatever role God put you in, do it for God's glory. Whether you're an athlete, whatever you're doing, do it for God's glory. This live stream is for God's glory. When I preach, it's for God's glory. When I go out and when I exercise, this is for God's glory. It's not for myself, but for God. And God alone, amen. This is the will of God. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21 says, now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the everlasting covenant, the covenant of God. Covenant means to cut unto blood. Covenant means to be a promise that God made to us so that when we are rooted in him, he is with us. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Draw in close to me and I will draw close to you and make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight, through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. We glorify him because he is the great shepherd. He is the ultimate light. He is the salt of the earth, and we are the salt of the earth, and we are his light. Amen. Praise the Lord. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But one who does the will of God lives forever. He wants you to live forever in Christ. You will live forever in the name of Jesus. What living it truly is to live in Christ. That is when you're truly alive for eternity. You're truly alive. And so many people are dead right now. Physically, they're physically maybe still alive, but inside they're dead. And that's why it's so important to hear the word of God, to believe, to transform our life, and to be lights of this world, because so many people are dead. And if they don't become alive, then forever they will be dead. Once this body passes, this world will pass away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Hello, okay? God is good, Nacho. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8 says, delight to do thy will, O God. Yeah, your will is within my heart. Teach me to do your will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes, your eyes, observe my ways. That's the first thought. In order that our joy comes from God. Thought number two. Wow, we still got more. When the Lord calls you to serve him, you must surrender to his call. Note the examples given by scripture. That Abraham surrendered to the call of God. Noah surrendered to the call of God. Moses surrendered to the call of God. Gideon surrendered to the call of God. David surrendered to the call of God. Elisha surrendered to the call of God. Isaiah, Christ himself, surrendered to the call of his father. And Paul surrendered to the call of God. Wow, these people surrendered to the call of God. And forever, they have been a stepping stone. They have been a part of the journey, part of the story, great story, God's story. Amen. The Heavenly Father's story of what they did. So whatever you do, if God is calling you today to serve him, then you must surrender to his call. You must say, yes, Lord, use me to do your will. Use me to lead a crusade. Use me to lead a revival. Use me to lead an awakening for your glory, for your kingdom. For you are alone, our God and God alone. And we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. Amen. Just like Abraham did, Moses did, Jesus did, just like Paul did. We will do the same. And he's got great plans for you. It's a great life when you're able to live a life to be a light for God. When you are a servant of God, it's so great to be able to have a journey knowing that you are living in victory, not living in death. You're living not in defeat, not in shame, but in victory, in glory, in breakthrough, in His presence, in His will. You're living a life so great. There's no doubt that He's working in your life. Amen. And that's why we love God with all our heart. Right, DJ? Amen, amen. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for leading us in our life. And we thank you that you taught us about Elisha and how Elisha was faithful in his calling. Elisha said, yes, I will follow you all the days of my life and I will gain training from one of the greatest prophets in the world, Elijah. And then, Lord God, I thank you that you were able to wake Elijah up even when he was depressed. You showed signs and wonders and said, all these signs and wonders are kind of empty in man's eyes, just like entertainment. But your words are powerful. Your words are transformative. Your word is like honey. It's like gold and silver. It's wealth and riches. It's something that we long for. And that's why some people still stay around here to hear the word of God in order to be empowered, in order to gain a mindset that walks in the ways of God, a mindset that does His will and not our own will, a mindset that glorifies Him with all our heart, our soul, and might in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we commit our life to you 100% to following you, to walking in your ways, to reading your word every day, to praying to you every day, to building your kingdom so that you may be glorified and so that we may do your good works. Lord God, there's no one like you. And so we praise you for every opportunity and we give thanks to you because there is no one like you. You made a way when there was no way. And so, Father God, we are so pumped up to be here in this live stream. We love you, God, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. If you say amen, throw that like, thumbs up. Throw that, thank you guys for the like, subscribe, thumbs up, for joining me again, and for being with me here. So, as we go, if you have any questions, let me know. If you have any comments, let me know. Aaron says, awesome. Glory to God, and says, amen. Amen. Lian Day says, amen. I love Jesus so much. I will give him my heart. Praise the Lord. Carter says, amen. Egg says, amen. Your fave blonde. Hello. Amen. And Daniel says, always amen. So you are not alone, my brothers and sisters. What are some four applications, questions as we go through this? How are you streaming this? Show me how. Ha ha. Glory to God. He is most powerful. He is great. He is awesome. So we glorify Him in everything that we do. If you want to know the ropes, you know, I'll show you. But application number one out of four. What do you do when you feel like no one knows your struggles? Well, number one, I just sing praises to God. I go to His presence. I lay my life down to Him. I say, Lord, I'm hopeless. I'm isolated. I'm goner. I have nothing left, Lord. And at rock bottom, God is still there with you. And He's there, able to lift you up higher and higher. That's what He did in my life. And so I know He can do that for your life too. He can lift you up from the darkness into light. He can lift you up from brokenness into wholeness. He can lift you up from being lost to be found, from blind to being seen, from just a life of confusion to having clarity. Amen? So, we go to the Lord. We go to Him and lift it up to Him. And He knows exactly how to solve your problems. And that's why we trust in the Lord our God. We trust in God's love. Amen, James. Amen. Amen. Number two, just as God told Elijah to minister to others, who are some people you can be blessing? Well, I'm blessing you guys. Praise the Lord. who are some people you can be blessing, whether it's your family, your classmates, your coworkers, your community. Those are some people. Number three, how was God's faithfulness to Elijah similar to his faithfulness to Israel? God is faithful to Elijah by showing his way. God is faithful to Elijah when he had no food, no water. He showed him the way. He gave him meat, bread. He gave him everything he needed. He's faithful to Elijah. And he also was faithful to Israel by raising up another prophet saying, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And you just need to turn to me. I have not left you, Israel. Elijah, then Elisha, and the other minor prophets. Amen. And Isaiah and other prophets. And then, number four, who is someone you can encourage or disciple as Elijah did for Elisha? Well, I have some youth. I'm leading church. So I'm working on encouraging them, building them up. Amen. Glory to God. So, for those of you who are still here, now you know what time it is. It's time for some pull-ups. Amen. Some of you guys just love seeing it. But, you know, I've been tired today. I'm so tired. But, glory to God. Let's do it. You can count. Okay, man, I got less. But hey, glory to God, for he is good. And he loves you guys. He loves you so much. He never lets you down. Amen. Amen. Well, may God bless you, be with you, may he empower you, and lead you all the days of your life. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. If you guys want to check out some recordings, it's on YouTube. May you be blessed in Jesus' most holy name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Whoop. Yeah. See you guys. 20. Amazing. Amen. Praise God. Haha. Thank you so much, James. Thank you. May God bless you. I'll see you guys next time. He said, no, it was 17. Haha. Yes, I counted 17 too. Brandon Howard says, God bless you. Thank you. I did count 17. Haha. I was like, 20? Okay. Let's go. Yeah. I was just so tired. I had staff meeting and then I crashed at the end. So, glory to God. May God bless you. Thank you. Rock on. Keep living for God. Amen.